Hello and welcome to Multifamily Real Estate Investing, presented by Mara Poling. My name is Pat Poling. I'm the founder and CEO of Mara Poling, and I'm happy to be with you today as we get near the end of season two of Multifamily Real Estate Investing, with a couple of topics that we think will be kind of fun. We've got just a few more episodes left, and one of the items we wanted to address before we get to the end of this season was the one issue that comes up from time to time about investing in real estate, and that is liquidity. So thanks for joining us to have this conversation today. Investing in real estate has so many advantages. The tax advantages that we've discussed previously, the ability to generate cash flow, the stability, given other events in the marketplace relative to equities or fixed income investments and the like, the growth you can experience in terms of appreciation, growth in equity from the pay down of your principal on your debt. There's just so many great things about real estate. Gee, why wouldn't I want to put all my money in real estate? Well, diversification issues aside for a moment, one of the primary issues is real estate's not terribly liquid. If I decide to buy stock in XYZ, and the next morning I wake up and decide that I don't like XYZ anymore, I can go online and sell that stock. I might lose a few dollars, maybe I've made a few dollars, but I'm pretty much none the worse for wear. If I buy a piece of property, whether it's a small residential unit, a duplex or a fourplex, something like that, or I buy a 300 unit property like we do at Mara Poling, and the very next day I decide, yeah, I don't know that I like it anymore, I can't just turn around and sell it. I've spent a lot of money buying it. It's going to cost money to sell it. And I've invested not just a day like I did buying that stock or maybe even an hour. I've invested months putting that transaction together. So it's not liquid. That's the downside to real estate. And it's not as illiquid as it seems. And that's part of what we want to spend some time on today is exploring tools we can use to create liquidity out of real estate investments. So a couple of thoughts here. The first is real estate generates liquidity by virtue of its cash flow. So unlike an investment in a stock that may or may not pay a dividend, and if it does, it's going to pay a fairly modest dividend. I think the last time I looked, the average dividend on the S&P was something like 2%, maybe even a little under 2%. Cash flow out of a commercial real estate investment, you could be looking 6-7. Our target's 8% for our fund that we currently have available. So obviously substantially larger than what you'd see in terms of cash flow from an equity investment in the stock market. If you're getting 8%, then over 2, 3, 4, 5 years, you're getting, you know, a third, maybe closing in on even half of your money back just from cash flow. And again, tax advantaged cash flow because of some of the items we've talked about previously. So it's not as illiquid as everybody thinks to start with because of cash flow. That would be item one. The next component would be to look at the fact that a real estate investment has the ability to grow equity, and you can grow equity in a couple different ways. One, and I'm primarily talking about commercial investments again, like we make at Mara Poling, and there's some items we're touching on here that we aren't going into as much detail, like the tax advantages and such. We've got links at the Learning Center at marapoling.com where you can access that prior material. That's marapoling.com, marapoling.com. Just click on the tab for the Learning Center, and there you'll be able to find copies of webinars and other materials that you can access that'll help you with tax advantages and the cash flow and the math that's behind all this and all the other topics that are related to this, but we aren't covering in any great detail today. So you can build equity a couple different ways. So one of the ways you can build equity in a commercial asset, so we're not talking about a duplex here, but in a commercial property, like a 100, 200, 300 unit property that we would invest in, is to grow the net operating income, to make the property more profitable. This doesn't have anything to do with what the neighbor's property down the street is doing. Unlike the residential model, where if you're renting a single family home, your appreciation is really a function of what's going on in your neighborhood with single family home prices. It's not really a rental from a commercial standpoint. Our assets are considered commercial, and that NOI growth is what really drives appreciation. So as we do value add projects and grow our revenues, our rents faster than we're growing our expenses, then we're able to increase net operating income. And as that increases through the leverage of a cap rate, we gain additional equity. So that's one of the ways that equity grows. The other is we use debt to purchase the assets we do. I would encourage all of you that are looking at making an investment, whether it's with a firm like us or on your own, if you're looking at buying a single family home to rent or a duplex or a fourplex, something like that, investigate using leverage. You will increase your returns, and you can do it in a very conservative manner in which you are taking a very, very modest amount of incremental risk. But the nice thing about it is when you do have leverage on an asset, that mortgage payment, that debt service is covered every month by your tenant. They are paying that. And in our instance, we see anywhere from a 2 to 3 to even a 4% equity growth return on invested capital simply from that note being paid down every month. And so that's a nice little feature to have. So as we're growing equity, well, what's that got to do with liquidity? It's inside the property and I can't get my hands on it. And that's true. And there are ways you can get your hands on it. So one of the things that you can do as you are growing this equity is, without selling the property, you can access some of what I would describe as the lazy equity by virtue of either refinancing the existing debt that you have on the asset or taking out a new loan, an initial loan, right? So if you've got an asset that you own for cash, you might put some debt on it. If you already have some debt on it, you could look to refinance. In the commercial space, we refinance. Sometimes we also put on supplemental debt, essentially a second mortgage on the asset. So let's take an example. We've got a property that we purchased for $10 million, and we have a $7 million loan on it. And over time, we've been paying that $7 million loan down. And at the same time, this $10 million property has grown to be 10.5, 11 million, 11.5, 12 million. And so we've got $1 million, $2 million, $2.5 million, $3 million in equity in this asset that's kind of not doing anything anymore. Now, I don't want to sell the asset because it's a great property, it's performing well, but I'd like some liquidity. Again, that's the primary issue a lot of folks may have when they look at how real estate performs in their portfolio. So what we can do is, again, through a refinance or a supplemental loan, we can tap a meaningful amount of that lazy equity. And then we can do a number of things with it, right? We can just take the cash, right? Which gives us some really nice liquidity. In the example I just mentioned, that might give us something in the neighborhoods of a 30 or a 40% return of the original capital we invested. Well, keep in mind, we said we're going to see about that same amount out of cash, which means I'm getting close to having almost all of my money back just through these two tactics. So that's clearly an opportunity to get some liquidity. Now, when we get to the point that we do want to sell the asset, and again, this might be in a short period of time, if the market's been very favorable and we've been able to grow NOI and so on, Or it may be over a longer period of time if we've decided to hold the asset longer. And maybe we've done some of what I just described. We've taken advantage of the tax-advantaged cash flow. Maybe we've put some supplemental debt on it. And now it's time to sell it. Well, when I go to sell it, we've talked previously that one of the tax advantages you have in real estate is the ability to roll over that gain that you experience for tax purposes into the next asset via a vehicle called a 1031 exchange. And again, go to marapoling.com and you can find more information on that. We go into more detail in some other sessions that you can find at the Learning Center there. So you could do a 1031. Now, when you're doing a 1031, I'm taking what I made here and I'm rolling it into the next asset. So I don't really have the ability to take a lot of cash off the table. But I may have some ability to do that, right? There may be some gap, and it all has to do with just how much lazy equity we've built up inside that particular asset. It's also possible that I could do some modified form of a 1031 where I wouldn't necessarily take full advantage of the capability of the 1031. I would defer some of the gain and pay tax on some of the other. This is why you need to have a tax advisor. Those of you that have visited us on LinkedIn and checked out our personal finance and wealth education group know that we're very big proponents of everyone having a team of advisors that they can work with. If you don't have a CPA or a tax advisor, and you are thinking about doing some work in real estate, whether it's investing with a firm like us, or whether it's doing something on your own, go get one. You want to find somebody that can help you understand all the intricacies of these. While I'm trained as an accountant, I'm not a CPA, and more importantly, I'm not your CPA. So you'll want to have a good conversation with them. But that's another possible way you could do it. You also could simply roll the asset over, not use a 1031. And when you roll it over, you could do what I call the house money strategy. So again, let me give an example here. $10 million property, we've invested maybe $3.5 million, right? That was our down payment plus some additional closing costs and maybe some capital for improvements. So we've got $3.5 million invested in this between cash flow. Maybe we've taken $1 million of that back, maybe $1.5 million of that back. So we're still owed a couple $1 million. Well, when we go to roll over, we could simply take that $2 million off the table. Now we've got our entire $3.5 million back, which means we don't have any money in this deal. What's in the deal is the house money, right? It's the upside that we've already gained. And we're going to let that sit there and continue to churn over time. And I can do something else now with my $3.5 million. And obviously this example scales. So if you're thinking about buying a fourplex yourself and you're gonna make a $300,000 investment to do that, you could after some appropriate hold period be in a position where between cash flow and the sale of the asset, you could take your 300 off the table and have cash left over to simply roll into another piece of real estate, which ultimately helps address this liquidity issue. The one thing you do want to keep in mind relative to liquidity is all these activities I just described do take time. This is not nearly as flexible as the example I used of investing in a stock in the equities markets, where you can simply the very next day decide you want to do something different. And unless something really terrible has happened, most likely you're going to experience a very modest amount of gain or loss from that standpoint. All the strategies I just discussed, whether it's recovering your investment through ongoing cash flow or accessing lazy equity while holding on to the asset, or rolling over and playing with house money when it comes time to sell, those are all strategies that take anywhere from several quarters to several years to play out. So not as illiquid as some people think, right? This is not 5 years without getting anything, nor is it as liquid as a piece of stock or a bond that you could sell in the bond markets. Does that mean it shouldn't be in your portfolio? Of course not. We're big advocates of commercial real estate having a spot in your investment portfolio. Should it be the only thing in your investment portfolio? I don't think so. It's a personal decision for everybody. We think you ought to have a piece of commercial real estate. We think multifamily is the right place to be. You ought to have a piece of it in your portfolio, and it's a great complement to those others. The podcasts, obviously, that you're listening to now, but if you search through all the podcasts that we've had this season, you'll find one called Are You Really Diversified? And there's also a associated webinar, again, that you can access at marapoling.com, marapoling.com. And that'll help you give some thought to asset allocation and how multifamily real estate might fit into your portfolio and what would make sense from that particular standpoint. I am more than happy to answer any questions you have about liquidity, in particular liquidity in the kind of space that we're in. Just a little bit of background for you. As I said, we invest primarily in the 100 to 300 unit, maybe 400 unit commercial multifamily space, Class B assets with value add opportunities. We're focused exclusively in very specific growth markets. It's a conservative strategy. It's one that we advocate for strongly. We think it fits quite well in most people's investment profile. And whether you're someone that ultimately would be interested in investing with us or just would like to learn more about it, I'm more than happy to spend some time answering your questions. Feel free to shoot me an email, pat@marapoling.com, and I'll be happy to answer any questions you have. You can go on our website, marapoling.com, and not only download information, but you can see some more detail about our investment strategy. You also have access to my calendar if you'd like to set up some time for a quick chat. I'd be more than happy to do that for you. So I hope today's been illuminating and given you some food for thought on liquidity and how you can increase liquidity with your real estate investments. If you do have questions, come visit marapoling.com, and I'll be happy to make sure that we get those questions answered for you. As I said, we're drawing near the end of season two. Season three is going to begin just after the first of the year. We have, I think, three or four more episodes slotted for season two. And then we'll be wrapping up and taking a little break in the holiday timeframe. And then we'll be back at the beginning of the year with season three with a whole new cast of characters. We've got some great interviews lined up for the beginning of next year, as well as lots more great content on commercial multifamily real estate investing. So thanks for joining me, and I look forward to talking to you next time on Multifamily Real Estate Investing, presented by Mara Poling.